Geekville Radio.
So nice to finally meet you,
Spider-Man.
You're Nick Fury.
Welcome all you geeks and geekettes to another edition of Geekville Radio. I am your host, Seth, a.k.a. Xandrax, the mayor of Geekville, and like I said, the host of Geekville Radio. We are running our first show here of 2019. It's going to be an abbreviated show, not as long as normal. We do have a lot of other content coming your way, which includes and is not limited to many of the geek movies that will be coming out in 2019. That will be headed your way very shortly, but we're only going to talk about a certain little movie trailer that took the comic book world by storm, has a lot of people talking, and that is, of course, the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer. And there's been a lot of speculation as far as where Spider-Man Far From Home will be in the timeline. There are people wondering, is it taking place before or after Avengers Endgame, or whether it's closer to the first movie. Obviously, I don't think too many people know for sure. Disney did drop some hints that this is afterwards, but I can't entirely rule it out that this may take place before Infinity War, because Spidey is not wearing the Iron Spider suit that he has in Infinity War. We did see that suit at the end of the first film, the first Spider-Man film, I should say. But of course, Peter actually turns down that suit to continue being the local superhero, so to speak, not being part of the Avengers. And it is made clear in Infinity War that Spidey is still not accustomed to being an Avenger. There's that funny scene where he's talking to Doctor Strange and he's like, oh, we're using our superhero names. So not only is Spidey not wearing the Iron Spider suit, he doesn't appear to be chummy with any of the other Avengers. Really, I mean, he is talking to Happy Hogan, but he was no stranger to Happy because Happy's in the opening scenes of Homecoming that take place right around the time of Civil War. So that said, even if it is before Infinity War, it's probably not that long before, because he does have the black gliding suit that, for those of you who follow the comics, will remember that was the suit that Dr. Octopus used when he was in possession of Peter Parker's body. And if you're listening to this and haven't read the comics, you're probably confused to all hell, but it's one of those things that you kind of sweep underneath the rug and say it's just comic books, don't take it too seriously. But yes, Dr. Octopus did inhabit Peter Parker's body at one point and had a cool-looking red and black suit, much like the gliding suit that Spidey has in this film. We also see the stealth suit, and that has got that kind of Black Ops look to it, not unlike something Agent Venom would wear, just without the symbiote. So he's clearly got two new suits, which Tony Stark may or may not have given to him. I'm sure it will be explained. I suppose it's possible he could have the Iron Spider suit, but then one would have to wonder why he wouldn't pack it with him for this vacation. We already know that it is a very small suit that could easily fit in a backpack or something to that effect, but it's pretty clear Spider-Man was taken aback and surprised when Iron Man threw that suit on him during Infinity War. So I think that's enough to make an argument for this movie taking place before Infinity War. And again, it doesn't have to be much before, and I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility for it to be taking place afterwards, because there's a lot that can be told in Endgame to put everything back the way it was. We may very well see everything get restored, and then most or possibly all of the heroes might not remember the events of Infinity War, except for maybe people like Doctor Strange. But as a whole, I think Endgame is probably going to end with the Soul Stone and the Time Stone to be used, and thus most of the populace do not recall the events. Just one man's opinion. Could be right, could be wrong. We do see Happy Hogan in this film but he's sporting a goatee, whereas he was clean-shaven during Homecoming, so that could be a sign. But as far as the trailer itself, there were a couple head-scratching moments. I think they hit you with one right off the bat, because Spider-Man is in some sort of fundraiser or public gathering, and he's standing with Aunt May. And they clearly show Aunt May hugging Peter, and Peter is not wearing the mask but has the suit on. So that kind of implies that May knows that Peter is Spider-Man. There is that scene of her saying, "Don't forget your suit," as Spidey is looking at the suit in his closet. He's saying he just wants to go out with his friends. But I think that could just be a red herring out there, because obviously, Aunt May could have been talking just wear your suit, you know, like dress nicely or something to that effect. The addition of the Ramones, I Want to Be Sedated, kind of keeps with the nice taste that the Spider-Man movies seem to have as far as music. Because if you go back to the Spider-Man Homecoming review that Train and I did for Homecoming, we both kind of marked out a little bit and enjoyed what we heard as far as the songs go. And as you heard from the opening stinger, we do get Nick Fury. And you have to remember that only a very few people know that Nick Fury is alive. We did not see Nick at all in Infinity War, except for the post-credit scene. And while Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. hasn't really had much in the way of tie-ins with the cinematic universe, it's pretty clear that Coulson is on that very short list of people who know Fury is alive. But that entrance for Nick Fury, I thought it was absolutely perfect. How it all fits with the way Fury just kind of sneaks up on people and then has his dramatic but quiet entrances. We do see Fury and perhaps Maria Hill. My hunch is it's Maria Hill. They're firing guns at what looks to be an elemental type creation. And I don't know for sure. They did already use him in the first Hulk movie, and they did have a version of him in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in, I think, the first season, but it's very possible that could be Absorbing Man, or at least another Absorbing Man that might be different from the one in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that definitely looked like an Absorbing Man type power. And I think it also looks like Fury is going to be the father figure of sorts for Peter. We don't know where Tony is. There's no mention of Iron Man or any scenes of him in the trailer. And according to IMDb, there is no credit for Robert Downey Jr. So if he is in this movie at all, he is not credited. We also got a good look of Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio. I think it's pretty cool that we are finally getting a big screen take on Mysterio, because he's one of those villains you don't really think of off the bat when you think of Spider-Man's rogues gallery, even though he is one of those classic villains. And Spider-Man, as far as the Marvel Universe goes, may have the single best rogues gallery for one hero. And it is arguable. It's certainly, he's at the top as far as Marvel goes. I know Train and I have talked before about Batman having probably the single greatest rogues gallery. But as far as Marvel goes, I think the argument could be made for Spidey. Another fun thing that we heard at the end was an orchestral take on the classic Spider-Man theme. And we get a stinger at the end where one of Peter's classmates clearly idolizes Spider-Man, then sees Peter and calls him a derogatory thing. I know it's easy to say now because of the man's passing, but that is a perfect example of the type of touches that Stan Lee would have in a storytelling, where you have the person that treats the hero like dirt when they don't realize that they're a hero. And that's something we usually get in spades with Spider-Man, because in real life, Peter Parker is a bit of a dork. You know, he's a bit of a nerd. You know, Mary Jane's probably the best thing to happen his entire life. Another name that is conspicuous by his absence in the trailer, and maybe it's just a cameo, but we did not see Michael Keaton. We did not see him as Vulture or as Tombs. So he may still be in jail. Maybe he breaks out at the end or something to that effect. But we do know that Michael Keaton is reprising his role as Vulture. So this trailer, being the epitome of the teaser, really does what it's intended to as far as a teaser goes. They give you an idea of the plot, but not the whole plot. And they just kind of give you a little bit to whet your appetite for the next trailer. And obviously, I think we will get another trailer. It'll probably be attached to Captain Marvel. That would be my hunch. It's what would make the most sense. But it does make me curious to see how the villains play out. How does Mysterio get brought in? Could those elemental creations be something he made? Because Mysterio's whole gimmick is that he's basically a magician. Maybe he's masquerading as a hero when he's really a villain. All these things would fit perfectly with a comic book movie, and especially a Spider-Man movie. So I am definitely interested to hear what you folks thought of the trailer. I thought it was a perfect example of a teaser trailer. Do you think this takes place after Infinity War or after Endgame? Because if that's the case, one would wonder why there aren't other Avengers in the movie. Why is Nick Fury going to Spider-Man? It would stand to reason if Spider-Man is a full-fledged member of the Avengers at this point, seeing Nick Fury might not be as big of a surprise as it was depicted in the trailer. But as of this recording in mid-January, we really only have about 5.5 more months to wait because it's coming out July 5th, so 4th of July weekend, always a big weekend for... Back when I worked in a movie theater, we kind of called the 4th of July like Will Smith weekend because that seemed to be when all the Will Smith movies came out, 4th of July weekend. But most importantly, this looks like it also could be the last of the three films that Marvel will have, counting the MCU. I mean, New Mutants are going to be out, but that's part of the Fox universe, so to speak. I don't think that's going to have any real incorporation with the MCU. It's also why I'm not mentioning Dark Phoenix, because that's probably going to be the last in the Fox Marvel films. So if you're listening to this for the first time, definitely give us a follow on social media, Geekville Radio. That's both the Twitter and the Facebook. You can find our website at Geekville Radio. And this podcast and our entire podcast family really can be found in the podcatcher of your choosing. Just search for Geekville Radio. You'll find this show. You'll find our sister shows, like Examining the Doctor, our Doctor Who podcast, which the next season will be starting shortly, of our show, not Doctor Who, of course. The Doctor Who season just ended, but that will be coming back. We also have our horror-themed podcast, Examining the Dead, our, as of now, only mature-rated podcast, so not for little kids. And we have our newest edition, our newest channel, the Lesser Known Geek Hall of Fame. So if you do a search for Geekville Radio in the podcast of your choice, you should find any of those shows. And give us a review. Let us know what we're doing well. Let us know what we're not doing so well. As I say all the time, I'm always looking for ways to improve this show. And I certainly want to talk about things that you as a listener would like to hear discussion about. So until next time, this is Seth, a.k.a. Xandrax, shutting down the power here in the Geekville Radio Studios. And we'll talk to you folks again next time with our 2019 movie preview extravaganza. Thank you very much for listening. Geekville Radio is not sponsored or endorsed by any products or services unless specifically stated. The views expressed by the hosts and or guests do not reflect the views of GeekvilleRadio.com, the Wrestling Brethren podcast, family, or any of their affiliates. Some media used in Geekville Radio is the product of their respective copyright holders, all rights reserved.